Okay, so going back to what I'd been doing a few weeks ago, where I was sharing ideas from the Midrash, I'll share an idea from the Midrash. At this point, VaYikra is far behind me, so I have to go back and see what I wanted to share. But the in addition to the Shemitah laws, which we've talked about a lot this year, the Yovel laws, the Parshat Bahar includes some other mitzvot that provide support for the poor in less direct ways than classic tzedakah. And one of them is the mitzvah to lend money, which is coupled with the prohibition to lend money with interest. Halachically, how exactly those work together? Is there actually a mitzvah to lend money? If there is it only to the poor or even to the rich or someone who doesn't have money at this time, who's therefore relatively poor? All types of interesting formulations. So the pasuk says as follows: Ki v'chiyamuch achicho matayado imach v'chezakde bo ger v'chai. So if you have somebody who is poor amongst your brothers, and he comes under your power, you should support him. Sorry, the mitzvah of lending is actually the other one, but okay. But when you support him, al tikach midoneshech v'tarbit v'yareita me'elohecha v'chei achicha imach. Do not charge him interest. Instead, fear God and let your brother live with you. Et kaspecha lo titein lo b'neshech uv'varbit lo titein ochlecha. Don't lend money in interest. Don't give your food with interest. Ani Adonai Elohechem asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, latet lachem in eretz Kanaan liyot lachem le'Elohim. I am God who took you out of Egypt to bring you to Israel to be your God. Now, just in those psukim, right? Clearly, lending money without interest to the poor is one of the ways that the Torah conceptualizes helping the poor. Okay, that is clear. What's odd, and this is picked up in many midrashim, many gemaras, what is weird about those psukim? Right? What seems to come up way too many times for a four pasuk unit about helping the poor? So there's your brother, which comes up several times. Now that one, Dafka, is not so weird. It's striking. I don't know if it's weird. Right? It's striking. You're right. Now, why is that striking? So the Ramban notes, right? What it, the simple theology there is, lending money with interest is not wrong. It's right. It's totally right. In fact, as I remember when we spent a whole year learning Ribbis when I was in Toronto, or 6 months we did Ribbis and Ona, as Rabbi Churchino put it very succinctly, what do we call lending money without interest?
Poor investment.
Yeah, poor investment, economic suicide, right? I mean, think about how much inflation is right now, right? Lending money without interest for 2 years is the equivalent of giving up all the potential in your money, plus guaranteed losing X percent, right? Whatever inflation is, right? So it's counterintuitive. What justifies it? The idea that this is your brother, right? And there's a difference between what you do for family, what you do for outsiders, right? Someone I have no connection to, if he says, can I borrow $1 million, which I don't have, in case you were wondering, right? But, fine, whatever, $10,000, okay? I would say, look, I could put that even in pathetic bonds, but I know I could get a return of a few percent over the next 2 years, right? But if my sister asked me, right, if I have the money to lend her, I'm probably not going to say, and I'm lending you with interest. That's just wrong, right? And that's wrong. I mean, just that's not how you do things. So Shlomo was correct, right? That one of the things is very striking here is that what justifies it seems to be this idea of being siblings, okay? And in the past, I've justified this. I'll say it very quickly with the two books that Adam Smith has. If you know anything about Adam Smith has two books. One is Wealth of Nations, which is the more famous one. The other is Theory of Moral Sentiments. And there's a famous contradiction, a stira, in Adam Smith, that in Wealth of Nations, he says that you don't expect to. I'll read the quote once again. And Smith, Wealth of Nations, Dinner from the Generosity of the Baker. It is not from the benevolence of the butcher, the brewer, or the baker that we expect our dinner, but from their regard to their own interest, right? However, if you read Theory of Moral Sentiments, which is his moral work, he says the opposite, or sounds say like it's the opposite, right? That you do, in fact, expect it from the benevolence of the butcher and the baker. And as my thesis advisor, Professor Otteson, has pointed out, the simple answer, if you go through all of his works, is that... No. So Adam Smith views ethics in concentric circles of responsibility. And Wealth of Nations, which is justifying the markets, right, is explaining how you deal with people to whom you only owe justice. Under the constraints of justice, you don't owe them tzedaka. But Theory of Moral Sentiments, he's talking about the people in your inner concentric circles, your family, your friends. And there you owe them, morally, benevolence. Right? Even though benevolence, you shouldn't say you owe them. But you do what he calls beneficence. He calls beneficence. But whatever.
Same word.
We don't really use that word in the same way now, right? We would use benevolence. He uses beneficence. But whatever it is, right? And it could be that the Ramban is getting at that point, right? Which is, there's nothing unjust about charging interest, but it's not what you do to family. Okay, fine. But what the Midrashim point out. They point out many things, but one of the things Midrashim point out is what's also weird is how many times in this section we say, I am God, I am God, I am God, I am God, right? Now, why do you say, I am God, I am God? So one version of Midrashim says, because it's really hard not to lend money with interest, and therefore God has to remind you either that he can punish you, or that you owe him, or that, right, and focus on that. But there's another Midrashic idea, which I think is very, very striking, which focuses not on particularly interest, but on helping the poor, bechlal. And it says as follows. And it quotes the Pasuk of Mishlei, Malveh Hashem chonen dal. The one who wants to lend money to God is the one who helps the poor. So the Midrash says, what does that mean? So he says, Amar Elazar k'tiv notein lechem l'chol basar, because God gives food to all, notein lechem l'chol basar. And therefore, there's a, right? If you give food to the poor, what are you doing? V'chatef lo edam mitzvah, as if you stole God's mitzvah, you grabbed God's mitzvah out of his hands. And Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu alai lishalem gumulo, right? I had a certain budget, and I was going to support everyone, and you supported him. So now you saved me the money. Now I owe you. And then it quotes a pasuk, "Gmulo yishalim lo," that I'll pay you back what I owe you. Return chuma arm lo b'shem Rebchia bar Abba Reb Nachman arm lo b'shem Yudan bar b'shem and Rabban b'shem Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Imalei mikra katuv. If we didn't have a pasuk saying it, ef shar lo amro, you couldn't say it. Kiviachol, it says if darkol shel love liot eved lemalve. Right, the pasuk in Mishlei says that the lender, the borrower rather, becomes the slave or the servant of the lender, right? Because now he owes him. Meved lo velish malve, and Repinchas v'shem Reuven amar kol mishnah din prut delani. Therefore, if you follow that logic, that one pasuk says that anyone who borrows money becomes a slave to the person who lent him money. The second one says that if you lend money to the poor, you give money to the poor, God, it's as if you lent money to God. That means that God becomes indebted or servant or slave to you by lending money. Misha notin pruta la'ani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu notin lo pruto. If you give a coin to the poor, God will give you coins. V'chi pruta notin lo, only a coin, v'lo notin lo nafsho. Wait a second, you're not just giving the poor money. When you give them money, you're enabling them to live, which means that what you're lending or giving the poor is his life, which means that God owes you now your life. If someone didn't have enough money, he had 9 coins and he needed 10 to buy bread, and you gave him the 10th coin and now he bought bread and now he's alive, So you gave him his life. Amar Lakodesh Baruch Hu, af ata b'sha'a shenafshecha mitzafzetet latzeich mitoch gufecha, when your soul is starting to shake, to jump out of its body, ani meshivcha lecha, I will give it back to you. L'fichach Moshe mazil shav v'chiyamu chachicha. And that's why the Torah warns you so much about chiyamu chachicha. Now, it doesn't specifically say in the Midrash what it's picking up on. Right, but I think what this Midrash is picking up on is this idea that giving staka is not just about staka. In four psukim alone, it says, right, v'yareitam elokecha, ani Hashem elokechem, right? One of the four psukim is devoted completely to I am God who took you out of Egypt, and ani Hashem comes up again. But this is in four psukim. I think that's what the Midrash is highlighting, is that at some level, staka isn't viewed just as, or lending money to the poor, isn't just viewed as taking care of the poor. It's fundamentally viewed in a very extreme way as you taking on the role of God, as it were, in this world, right? And therefore, part of what motivates to do staka is doing what God would do, right? The Midrash takes it farther and says, you're actually doing what God was supposed to do, and therefore he owes you one, right? And therefore, it is in your best interest. It's in your best interest, right? In that sense, you could read this psukim as saying, listen, I am God who took you out of Egypt. Like, you want me to be indebted to you because, you know, the people I'm indebted to, I do a lot for them. I can do a lot. And all it costs you is a few pennies to support the poor. And then, you know, you have bought influence over God, right? That is a very, very enticing offer, right? And then you understand, right, the ideas behind staka tatsumi mavet, that it saves from death, right? It's building an entire theology around this notion that giving staka is part of doing what God actually wants done in the world, actually taking the place of God and all the benefits that come from it. And that, I think, is just a fascinating midrashic way of thinking about helping the poor. And, of course, builds into what we're talking about, Shemitah, where Shemitah helps the poor, but as an expression of the land is God's, right? There is that similar dynamic of all these mitzvot in Bahar, where helping the poor is in many ways not just about helping the poor. It's about tapping into a recognition of who runs the world, how he wants the world run. It may help the poor also, but it's actually a theological statement when you buy in to the system in that way. Okay, I think it's the Shana Bet meeting, so